Okay, we are holding by the second Mishnah on Nun Hei Amud Beis. Mishnah says, since we were talking about in the previous Mishnah, we were talking about how they divided up the Karbonos of Sukkos among all the Mishmaros. So now, related to that, the Mishnah is going to go into what they did in general, how the Mishmaros split up the various aspects of the Avodah during all the Shalosh Regalim. The Mishnah says, Shlosha Prakim Bashana, 3 periods during the year, meaning the Shalosh Regalim, Hayukol Mishmaris Shavis, all of the Mishmaris were equal, Ben Murei HaRegalim, in the Emurim, which usually Emurim means the fact of the Regalim, of the Yom Tovim, what we'll discuss in the Gemara, what it means exactly, or V'chiluk Lacham Aponim, and as far as dividing up the Lacham Aponim. The deal is like this, as the Gemara is going to explain. So we know there's a concept, we know that every week a different Mishmar would serve in the Bais Hamikdash. They'd come on Shabbos, they'd leave the next Shabbos. The Shalosh Regalim, the din is, the Gemara is going to explain, we learn it from Sukkim, that all the Mishmaris have an equal opportunity to serve in the Bais Hamikdash. So we talked about on Sukkot, therefore each one has at least one korban to bring, some of them even had two. All the other Yom Tovim have to do a pious, but still all of them have an equal share in it, and therefore we're saying that all of them have an equal portion in the Emurim, which we're going to talk about what that means, because it can't just mean bringing the fast is not enough to go around among all the Mishmaris. Well, v'chiluk lachem aponim, and as far as dividing up the lachem aponim on the Shabbos that comes out during whichever of the regalim. Right, but that's the problem. You can't say that all 24 Mishmaris join in the Emurim because, there's, for example, on most Yom Tovim, there's only 10 or 11 animals for Korbanos, and you have 24 Mishmaris. Welcome. Ba'atzeres comes Shavuos. Omaloi, they would tell each kohen, Helach Matzah, Helach Chametz. Here is Matzah for you, and here is Chametz for you. Why? Because what we're talking about is if Shavuos comes out on Shabbos. So they were giving out Lachem Aponim, which is Matzah, like Lachem Aponim always is. And on Shavuos, you also have the Shtei Lechem, which, unlike most Menachos, are Chametz. None of them is brought on the Mizbeach, because Chametz is not brought on the Mizbeach, but they bring the Shalmei Tzibur with it, and the Lachem Aponim are parceled out among the Kohenim. So here, the point is, we don't say, now, you can't say when it comes to Menachos that we'll give one Kohen a piece of one Mincha, and we'll give a different Kohen a piece of a different Mincha. You can't trade them off for each other. Every mincha has to be divided. Every mincha that's brought by all the kohenim, then all the kohenim of that mishmar, or in this case all the mishmaris, are entitled to eat it. Thank you. So therefore they have to give each person matzah and chametz. They have to give them from the lachem aponim, and they have to give them from the shtei lachem. You don't trade off one. You don't say some people are only going to get lachem aponim and some people are only going to get shtei lachem.
They both have to have both.
Mishmash is manei kavua. Now we have to remember the week that Yom Tov comes in, all 24 mishmaris are participating. But even so, that week still belongs to one particular mishmar. So what do they get above all the other 23? So mishmash is manei kavua. The mishmar whose fixed time it is. Who makriv tamidin? That mishmar would bring the korbanos tamid of each day, nedarim and nedavos, and any voluntary korbanos that people brought, which there would tend to be more of those during Yom Tovim, naturally, because a person would be menadiv and ola or shlamim or what have you, and normally they would bring it. They'd bring it when they're coming for aliyah l'regel anyway. Ushar korbanos tzibur and all the other korbanos of the tzibur, which the Gemara will explain what are some examples of that. Umakriv as a kol, and then makriv everything else, which again that comes to add another kind of korban that the Gemara will talk about. So basically, what it is, in other words, when we say that all the mishmaris join in all the korbanos, means only the korbanos that have to do with the yom tov specifically, the ones that are the regular daily korbanos, or ones that are for special occasions but not tied to the yom tov, those are for the mishmar. So what happens, what do we say, though, that they get the lachem aponim? So the Lacham Aponim is a weekly thing on the face of it. So what is so why is it given out among all the Mishmaris? So one idea of it is it's true. It is a weekly thing. It's nothing specifically related to the Yom Tov. But nevertheless, it's considered enough of a Chayv Asayim. It's considered enough of a special Chayv for that day that therefore we divide it up among all the Mishmaris. So it's just talks about it briefly on Nivav. As opposed to, for example, the everyday Karban Tamid. The Gemara asks, Emura or Golim, what do you mean that the Kohenim all share in the Emurim? Shogaboyaninu, they go on the Mizbeach. So you can't say they eat them all together, and you also can't say, again, that it can't mean, that the Pashtus can't mean they all join together in burning them, because they don't. Only some of them are going to get to whichever ones win the pious. Amarachista, it doesn't mean, the word Emurim here does not mean what we usually mean by Emurim, meaning the fact. It means, Masha Omur Baragolim. What it said, that what the Torah says has to be brought from the korban from each vegel, namely, there are parts of the korbanos of the Yom Tovim that do go to the kohenim. For example, every person we talk about nedarim and nedavos, but besides that, we have korbanos that people are obligated to bring, like korban chagiga. A chagiga is a shlamim. It's just a shlamim that's brought for a special occasion. And a shlamim, there's the chaz of a sheikh, the breast and the thigh that are given to the kohenim. So that's what we mean, that all the kohenim are equal in those. Just like they're equal in bringing the actual chavonas chagiga themselves, because those are something relevant to the yomtiv, so also they join together, so also they have an equal share
even
in getting the pieces of those chavonas.
They can still enjoy it.
Right. Rashi, another example Rashi mentions is we said yesterday that the Torah says that all of these skins of all korbanos ola go to the kohenim. So again, then you have all these olas that are being brought throughout Yom Tov. Again, there's a lot of skins to be given out. All the kohenim get equal shares. Rashi says that's included when we say emurim, but masha omur, it means everything that's said, everything that the Torah says goes to the kohenim. So the chaz of shalik, the skins.
They aren't, like, as valuable as
they were. Leather is pretty valuable nowadays. For parchment, for leather jackets, for boots, they still get lots of use out of leather. We learn in a price. How do we know that all the Mishmaris join together equally in the Emurim of the Yom Tov? Which again, the Emurim we just said does not mean the parts that go on the Mizbeach, it means the parts that go to the Kohenim. Because the Pasuk says, Uvav cholavas nafshoi. The Pasuk says like this, if a Levi comes from one of your gates, meaning from one of your cities, from throughout Eretz Israel, Uvav cholavas nafshoi, he can come with his heart's desire. And the pasuk continues, v'sheiret, that he can serve in the Beis Mikdash. Now, one meaning of it is, and the Gemara talks about this in Bava Kamma, is that a kohen can come any time, even when it's not his mishmar's week. And he can, if he has a personal korban to bring, he can bring it himself. That's one meaning of the pasuk. We may have mentioned it once. But the other meaning of it is what the Gemara is talking about over here. It means that when there's a certain time, which we'll say in a minute how we know that this means the Yom Tovim, when the Kohenim can come, Me'achad Sha'arecha, they can come from all your cities all over Eretz Yisrael, V'sheiris, and they have an equal right to serve. The Mishmar of that week can't tell them, sorry, go away and come back when it's your turn. Yochol Ach B'Shayim Ha'it Hashanah Kain, so you would think the same thing applies during the rest of the year, that any Kohen can come whenever he wants. Tam Avloima Me'achad Sha'arecha. No, the Pasuk says from one of your gates. Which means Loyal Marty, Ella Bashar, Shakhoy Zhon, the Khanas and Mashar Echad. This din only applies by the Yom Tovim when all Jewish people are coming in through one gate. Any particular gate of Yerushalayim. But the point is, in other words, that everybody's coming in to one place, into one city and into one Beis Hamikdash. Whereas the rest of the year everybody's going about their daily affairs. So when we say this that it says V'chiyoveh Alevi Me'achad Sha'arecha, it means that he's coming at a time when everybody's coming in through the one Shire. Incidentally, then, I mean, so what does it mean, B'chiyove al-Levi? We're talking about Koyanim over here. So Rashi points out, the Gemara points out in a few places that there's a couple dozen places in Tanakh, 24 places, where the Koyanim are called Levim. This is one of them. Where even though it says B'chiyove al-Levi, Torah Shabbat Peh tells us it means the Koyanim. Because otherwise, if it was a Levi, you can't say V'sheiris. The Levim don't serve in the Beth Mikdash as such. Yeah. The Koyanim are part of Shevet Levi, sure. So, but normally the word Levi... Normally, the word Levi means a non-Kayan Levi, but here it means a Kayan. There's the famous vort in the Siddur that Limos HaMashiach HaLevim of nowadays will be Kohenim, and that's what it means by Kohen when it says in the Pasuk in some places, by Kohenim HaLevim.
The Arizal says something like that.
Yeah, the Arizal says that. It's brought in a number of places in the Siddur, yeah. Then the Mishnah said of Chiluk Lacham upon him, that they all divide equally Lacham upon him. How do we know that all the Mishmaris join together in dividing up the Lacham upon him? Again, given that we said before, the Lacham upon him does not really belong to Yom Tov per se. Chamad Lima, because the Pasuk continues, after that Pasuk that we just quoted, that the Pasuk continues, they should eat equal portions. Which means, kechelek avoda, kachelek achila. Just as they all have an equal portion in doing the avoda, any of them can do the avoda, and the one from that week can't tell them, sorry, it's not your turn. The same thing, they all have an equal portion in eating. Umay achila, and now we have to consider, what kind of eating are we talking about? Ilem a korbanos, you're telling me that the kohenim, that they all get an equal share of the korbanos? You don't need that pasuk. Mehasam nafka, you have a different pasuk that tells us. The pasuk says, la kohen hamakriv oisa loitiyah, that whichever kohen brings a particular korban, he's the one that gets it. And it doesn't actually mean, we would take it at face value to mean, you know, you're a kohen, you bring a certain korban, then you're entitled to eat it, but you and you are not. That's not what it means. It means any Kohen who's suitable to do that avoda is able to eat it. So therefore, everybody from that mishmar, or everybody from that base of, whatever, who's there that day.
Even if he hasn't
actually been the one who actually brought the Kohen. So obviously, if during Yom Tovim, or if during Shal Shagolim, all 24 mishmaris have an equal shot at it, then of course they can all eat from the Kohenus. You don't need the Pasuk Chelek to tell us that. El Lacham upon him. So you have to say that it means Lacham upon him, which even though only two of the mishmaris so Rashi says actually like this. I mean, there's no real avoda that's being done now with the lacham upon him. The actual avoda, putting it on the shulchan, was done last Shabbos. And another way of thinking of it also is even the bit of the avoda of it that has to be done this Shabbos, the spoonfuls of furdos from it have to be brought on the mizbeach, but that week's mishmar does it. The rest of the 23 mishmaris don't do it. So that's why the pasuk, that's the chiddush from the pasuk, that nevertheless all of the mishmaris get to join in eating from the lacham upon him.
Which you
wouldn't know from the other pasuk, because the other pasuk is only talking about ones that the kohenim are able to be involved in bringing. Now the gemara continues, yachal af v'chovet abos shalom machmas regel b'regel. So you would think then maybe this din also applies to korbanos that are being brought on Yom Tov, but not because of Yom Tov. That, for example, the ones that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the Tmidim, people's personal korbanos, etc. Talmud Lomar, note, the Pasuk finishes off there. Levad, these are three psukim back-to-back in Parshas Shoftim. Levad mim korov ala avos, besides for what was sold by the fathers. What does that mean? Ma machra avos zelazer, what are the fathers, what are the ancestors of the Kohenim sell to each other? What deal do they make? The deal was, ani b'shabsi v'ani b'shabatcha. I will be serving in the Beis Mikdash my week, you'll be serving in your week. Originally, the concept of Mishmaris actually goes all the way back to the times Moshe Benu. He originally set up, obviously originally they didn't need, there's only Aaron and his four sons and later two sons. But eventually, once Elazar and Itamar had children, then they set him up as four Mishmaris. Later on, eight Mishmaris. Later on, they increased it to 16. And then later, David and Shmuel increased it to the 24 that we know of. When they increased it to 16, I don't remember. And it might be, actually, maybe they didn't increase it to 16. Maybe it was only 8 and 24. That's what it was. It was only 8 and 24. It was 8, and then what it was is because there's so many more Kohenim, they took each of the Mishmaris from Isamar and split it into two. And they took each of the Mishmaris of Isamar and split it into two, and they took each of the Mishmaris of Elazar, who had more children, and split it into, and then split it into even more, and then split it into four, in order to make up 24 Mishmaris. Yeah. So that was the deal. Each Mishmar is going to have 1 week to serve in the Beis Mikdash. So that's what they sold to each other. I'm selling you this week in return for, I'm getting the right to that week. So therefore, they can't infringe on that. Mishnah says, "Batzeras omer lahelachola." That on Shavuos they would tell each kohen, "Here is chametz, and here is matzah, and here is chametz." So the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent over here, which actually has to do with the dinim of Sukkos, but eventually we'll relate it to our Mishnah. Itmar, they said, the discussion. Rav Omar, Sukkah v'achakach zman. What order do you say the brachas in when you come in the first night of Sukkot? Do you say Leishav HaSukkah first or Shachyanu first? The Rav says first you say Shachyanu. First you say Leishav HaSukkah, then Shachyanu. Rav Baba Chana omer zman v'achakach Sukkah, and Rav Baba Chana says the other way around: first Shachyanu, then Sukkah. Rav omer Sukkah v'achakach zman. Why? Because Chiyuv v'diyom adif. He says the Chiyuv of the day is more important. Meaning, in other words, Leishav HaSukkah is specific to Sukkot. The Shachyanu is not specific to Sukkot. You say it every Yom Tov. You say it whenever you get a new suit. There's nothing special about it for the day. Rav Baba Chana Omar Zman Vachach Sukkah, because he says Tadur Sheina Tadur Tadur Kaidim. The usual rule. Anything that's more common comes first. Shachyanu. You say a lot more often than Leishav HaSukkah. Anyone says Lema Rav Baba Chana Beplut to the Beis Shammai Besilo Kamiflegi. Can we say that Rav and Rav Baba Chana are actually arguing on the same argument that Beis Shammai and Besilo have in Brachas? The Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Dvorim Shabin Beis Shammai Besilo Besuda. There's a number of the whole eighth parak of most of the eighth parak of Brachas is a series of machloikas in between Beis Shammai and Besilo on different dinim during a meal. The first one of them is Beis Shammai Omrim Mevarach Al Yoyim Vachach Mevarach Al Yayin. Beis Shammai says first you make the bracha on the day and then on the wine. So when it comes to Kiddush, first you would say Mekadosh HaShabbos and then you would say Bar Priya Gofen. No, forget. Mekadosh HaShabbos is more tadu than Bar Priya Gofen. Bar Priya Gofen you say all week. We'll say in a minute what Beis Shammai's reason is. Or Beis Shammai Mevarach Al Yayin Vachach Mevarach Al Yayin. Beis Shammai says first the wine and then the day. What's the reason? The Braith explains. First of all, the day makes it that you have to have wine. If it weren't for the fact that you have to make Kiddush, you don't have to drink a cup of wine before the meal. I mean, okay, they used to drink wine a lot more in those days than we do now, but still, normally you would drink wine during your meal, not before it. So why are you drinking wine before the meal? It's only because of the day. So it's only fair that you should put the bracha for the day first. And another reason, there's another reason. What comes first? The beginning of Yom Tov or Kiddush? Or of Shabbos or Yom Tov or Kiddush? The beginning of the day comes first. So the day is already in. You already had the chiyuv to make the bracha, Mekadosh HaShabbos or Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, before you set up to make Kiddush. So the tzlach, the Noda B'Yehuda, writes that this is why Beis Shammai needs two reasons. Because either individual reason you could slog up. The one about Shayyim Gorim L'Yayin Shiyavay, very nice. What about if you're making Kiddush on bread? Why, according to Beis Shammai, you still have to make the Kaddish or Shabbos before Amotzi, but why? Your bread, you anyway start out your meal with, whether on weekdays or Shabbos. And so therefore they need the second reason. On the other hand, like you said, the second reason is not good by itself either. What if you take in Shabbos early and make Kiddush early? The combination of the two reasons gives you a reason to always put Mekadosh HaShabbos first. Or Basilo Am Mevarach Al Yayin V'Achach Mevarach Al Yayin, whereas Basilo says that you make a bracha on the wine and then on the day. You could indeed, and Aruch HaNer talks about it.
Yes, yeah. Except Shabbos early.
And you may, yeah, it's true.
What's that?
Very good, yeah. So Aruch HaNer points out that, I mean, you know, these two answers of the flax, very nice, but you could still slog both of them up. Yeah, what if you're making Kiddush early and you're making it on bread? Yeah, it's true. Very good. You make the bracha on the wine first, and then the bracha on the day. First of all, shayayin goyim l'kedusha shetamer. First of all, the wine causes that you're saying kiddush. If you didn't have wine, you're not going to say kiddush, or bread. Either one. You have to have either wine or bread. You can't just say mekadosh haShabbos by itself. And another reason, the reason for the bracha on the wine is more common because you drink wine during the week also. The bracha on the day is not as common. So, Lema Rav, Drama Kibbutz Shammai. So it seems that Rav, who says that you're saying the bracha on the sukkah and then Shechianu, is going like Beis Shammai. That he's saying that the chiyuv of the day comes first, just like Beis Shammai is saying that the bracha Mekadosh HaShabbos comes first. Rav Baba Chana is saying like Beis Hillel, which in that case, I mean, that would be a problem anyway. We know, first of all, there's no reason for them to repeat the same machlokes. Second of all, we know Beis Shammai b'mekayim Beis Hillel in a Mishnah most of the time. The halacha is not at all like Beis Shammai. So why would Rav think to say like him? Amalach Rav, the answer is no, Rav can tell you. I feel a little bit civil. No, what I'm saying about Sukkah and then Zman would be even according to Bezilel, because Ad Kan Lo Kamar Bezilel Hasav Ela Shayayin Gurim LeKedusha Shete Amar. Yes, what is Bezilel saying over there? They're saying that you need wine in order to make Kiddush, or bread, as the case may be. You need one or the other in order to make Kiddush. Aval Hacha, but over here, Ilab Zman Milay Amrin and Sukkah. Shachianu and Leishav Asukah have nothing to do with each other. Leishav Asukah doesn't depend on Shachianu. So therefore there's no reason that you shouldn't put the bracha on Sukkah first.
And according to Hillel, it does.
Rav is saying that you put Sukkah first. Because even if you say, when it comes to regular Kiddush, that you put Bari Priya Gofen first, the difference is you need Bari Priya Gofen as a prerequisite for Kiddush. Shachianu is not a prerequisite for Leishav Asukah. We say Leishav Asukah the rest of Yom Tov without saying Shachianu with it.
Then what's the Kiddush?
I don't understand.
What's the difference between Rav's opinion and...
That's the point. We're saying that Rav could be going according to either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. Yeah, that's all we're saying. It's not the same machlokes. What I'm saying could even be according to Beis Shammai, because Ad Kan Lo Kamar Beis Shammai Hasav Ela Shayayin Gurim LeYayin Sheyoved. Which again, Beis Shammai is taking the view that is also saying that they're interdependent, but the other way around. Why are you having wine before your meal? Because you're making Kiddush. Aval Hacha, again, Ilav Sukkah Milay Aminim Zman. Same thing in reverse. Without Leishav Asukah, you still say Shachianu. You say Shachianu Al Yomim Tovim. We talked about earlier, a week or two ago, that technically you can even be saying Shachianu when you're building your sukkah. We don't do that nowadays, but in Etzim Inyan you could, even before you were saying Leishav Asukah. So again, therefore one doesn't depend on the other, so there's no reason that you shouldn't say that you should. So you might as well say Tadr Vashayna Tadr, Tadr Kaidim, and put Shachianu first. So now, how does all this relate to our Mishnah? Why are we bringing this in over here? Let's see. It said in our Mishnah, on Shavuos they tell the each kohen, here's matzah, meaning lechem aponim, and here's chometz, meaning shtei lechem. The chometz ikar or matzah tafel. Now, what do you have here? The chometz is the main thing, because the chometz is the shtei lechem, which is the chayva of that day, of the day of Shavuos, which it's only because of that you're giving out to all the kohenim. Otherwise, if it was only lechem upon him, you'd only be giving it out to the two mishmaris, who are exchanging shifts that Shabbos. So the very fact that you're giving it to all the mishmaris is because of the shtei lechem. That's the important thing right now. And umatzah tofel, the lechem upon him, is the secondary thing, because you're only doing that along, because it's going along with the shtei lechem. V'chatani helach matzah, helach chametz. And we're seeing that first you offer him matzah, and then chametz. Tshuv to the Rav. Wouldn't that contradict Rav? Yeah. Amalach Rav Tanoi. So Rav can tell you, in fact, this is the machlokes Tanoim. It's true. It's not the machlokes with Shammai B'Sivol that we talked about before. But in fact, this, what order they offer the two pieces to each kohen to, that itself is a machlokes Tanoim. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The Tanakama says, Helach matzah, helach chametz, that you offer matzah and then chametz, and Abba Sholem, helach chametz, helach matzah. The other way around, that first you offer him chametz and then matzah. So very well then, Rav can say, I'm going, like Abba Sholem. Dorosh of Nachman Baruch Chisda, so Nachman Baruch Chisda Darshan, loike divir Rav da omas sukkah v'achkach zman. You should know the halacha is not like Rav, who says that first you say sukkah and then zman, elo zman v'achkach sukkah. Rather, first you say shechianu, and then you say sukkah. And then they say Leishav Asukah. But Rav Sheshes Bered Ravid Yomer, Rav Sheshes Bered Ravid, he says, no, the other way around, Sukkah V'Achkach Zman. But no, you do like Rav. First Sukkah, then Zman. The Hilchasa and the Halacha is, in fact, Sukkah V'Achkach Zman. First Leishav Asukah, then Shechianu. Now, what is interesting is the Gemara does not talk about, that's not so unusual, but what's unusual is the Gemara does not talk about what do you do on the second day of Yom Tov. Is there maybe you should say on the second day of Yom Tov, there's a logical reason to say Mele, you're saying you put Leishav Asukah first because fine the chiyu of the day comes first, but then the second day is there maybe a reason that you should put that you should put Shachianu first, because then already you did the chiyu of the day, you did Sukkah already. So indeed most poskim do say that on the second night of Sukkah, so the Gemara doesn't deal with it, which is odd because they had 2 days of Yom Tov in the time of the Gemara. most poskim do in fact say that yes, on the second night you do flip things around. You put Zman and then you put Shachiyonu and then Sukkah.
Even at that time, the time of the Gemara?
We don't know what they did at the time of the Gemara, but for nowadays, this is what it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, and that most poskim say is that the second night you do, so now. There's a bit in Sefer HaMenhagim. It mentions the Rebbe Rashab mentions it in his notes on the Siddur Torah Ur. It's brought in Sefer HaMenhagim that in fact that's taka what we do. Unlike the Ar Menhagim that do not. The Ar Menhagim that do taka put Sukkah and then Zman on both nights. The Munshine brings in Otz Menhag Chabad that there were Chassidim in Russia who understood one of the Rebbeim, I think the Rebbe Rashab, to have said that you do in fact do Sukkah and then Zman both nights. And therefore they did like that. But the Rebbe points out that in fact the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch makes a point of mentioning the simon that deals with the second night of Yom Tov is missing in the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch. But the simon that deals with the first night of Yom Tov we have, and the Alter Rebbe makes a point of saying over there that you say Sukkah and then Zman on the first night, which implies on the second night not. And that's Taka Habifirzah.
Is that in order to see all the sheets of
Gemara? No, it's more because we're saying the first night you say Sukkah and then Zman because we said the chiyuv of the day comes first. But once we've already done that, then already we should put Shechiyonu first. I've always found a way to remember that because it does get confusing from year to year. The first night Sukkahs can't come out on Motzei Shabbos, so you never have Yaknahad the first night of Sukkahs, but you can the second night because the first day can be Shabbos. So therefore, the order Yakna has is never going to be broken up by Leisha Vasukkah. Therefore, the second night, you'll have Zman and then Sukkah. Whereas the first night, which anyway, you can never have Yakna has, you have Sukkah and then Zman. Incidentally, about this Helach Matza, Helach Chometz business, the Aruch Honer points out that the Rambam, in fact, doesn't paskin one way or the other which way they gave him. And he says, maybe because since we have this Machlokes Tanoim, Rambam felt, you know what, it's Hilchos Olam Mashiach, it's not Negea nowadays anyway, it'll be Negea when Mashiach comes. So fine, let the Sanhedrin of that time decide, I don't have to paskin it.
He
couldn't paskin it, well, he could have, I mean, he could have figured the halacha was like the Chachamim, but yeah. Tosfos points out, I mean, so what after all do you do? We're saying the Mishnah had said, Helach Matzah, Helach Chometz, our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, and the Halacha is usually like that, that first you offer him what's not Chayv HaSayim, the Lacham upon him. So by the same token, shouldn't you be saying Shachiyonah, which is not Chayv HaSayim, first? So Tosfos says, either, first of all, okay, maybe we're not worried about that Stam Mishnah, maybe Taka the Halacha is not like it, or that, like we said before, maybe the Lacham upon him is considered to a certain extent Chayv HaSayim. Mishnah can say, the Mishnah had said, Mishmash is Mane Kavua Cholo, Roshau Kabonah Sibur, the Mishmo whose regular turn it is that week is the one that gets to bring the Kabonah's Tumid and then people's private Kabonah's, etc. And then it said, Roshau Kabonah Sibur, and the other public Kabonah's. So, Lasu Yamai, what does that come to include? Now, the Gemara could have said very simple, that Tosfos points that out on the previous Amud, the Gemara could have said very simple, it includes Roshau upon him, for example. But instead, the Gemara finds something else. La'asuya par helam davashal tzibur rasid avaris chachavim. It comes to include the par helam davashal tzibur, the case where the Sanhedrin made a mistake in passing halacha, and most of the Jewish people followed that, where they have to bring a special carbon. So that, they may be bringing it on Yom Tov, because it so happened they're bringing it on Yom Tov, but it has nothing to do with Yom Tov per se. So therefore, whichever Mishmo's week that is the one that brings it. And the goats that they bring in case there was a similar kind of thing where the Sanhedrin could make a mistake specifically in a din involving Avodah Zarah, where then the Tzibur has to bring not only a pyre, they also have to bring a sawyer, one for each shevet, actually. So those also the Mishmer of that week brings. Now, what does the Mishmer of that week actually do with those things? Because those korbanos you have as follows. They're shechted. The blood is brought into the heichal, which the Kohen Gadol specifically has to do that. The fat is burnt on the mizbeach, and the rest of the body of the korban is taken outside Yerushalayim and burnt. So which part do we mean when we say that the mishmer shazmanei kavua is responsible for it? Some mafarshim say it's talking about the shechting of it. Maybe it doesn't have to be shechted by the kohen gadol. It's only that he has to bring the blood inside, or maybe it's talking about burning the fat of it on the mizbeach as opposed to burning the rest of it outside Yerushalayim. That you don't even need kohenim for. Anybody can do that. And the Mishnah said, that that Mishma, whose turn it is that week, brings everything else. Lasu Yamai, what does that come to include? Lasu Yekayit HaMizbeach. It comes to include the Kayit HaMizbeach, which we talked about many times in Shkolim, that you have times when not many korbanos are being brought, slack season, then they had some of the pushkas, some of the shofars, and the Beis Mikdash, they had money set aside in those that they would use to buy oilus, which then they would bring on the Mizbeach. So there's always something for the Mizbeach to be burning. So those again have nothing to do specifically with Yom Tov, but those also the Mishmar of that week would bring them.
How about time?
No, not on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov itself, you can't. We're talking about a Chol HaMoed, but yeah, usually during Chol HaMoed there'd be a lot of korbanos. What if there wasn't for whatever reason? Yeah. I mean, imagine, for example, how full the Beis Mikdash was on the Shalosh HaGolim in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, and then what happened afterwards when Yeravam and Nevat cut off 10 of the Shvatim. You know, you can imagine there may well have been times when, relatively speaking, yeah. Mishnah says, Yom Tov asamoch l'Shabbos, if Yom Tov comes out close to Shabbos, which the Gemara will explain, means that, for example, we're not talking about a Shabbos which is Yom Tov itself, that we discussed before. We're talking about, for example, Yom Tov begins on Sunday. So Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos. Or Yom Tov ends on Friday. So Shabbos is immediately adjacent to Yom Tov. Ben melchana, ben melacharea, whether before or after it. Hayu kol mishmaris shavus bechiluk lacham apanim. Then again, all the mishmaris joined together equally with the lacham apanim. Because in that case, even though technically that Shabbos does not belong to Yom Tov, so by rights it should only belong to the two mishmaris, the incoming and the outgoing one. Practically speaking, though, since all the mishmaris have to be there to serve on the regel, they can't leave if Yom Tov begins or ends immediately before or after Shabbos. They can't leave. So therefore, they're all there anyway. So therefore, we give them all lacham apanim. What if one day comes out in between? So Yom Tov ends on Thursday, or Yom Tov begins on Monday? Now, what happens? Of course, so Rashi says like this. What's going to happen is like this. For example, let's say Yom Tov starts on Monday. We know there's going to be the incoming mishmar, the one whose turn that is, came before Shabbos as usual, and they take over Shabbos afternoon. Now, the rest of the Mishmaris, theoretically, could come in Sunday, Erev Yom Tov. Instead, though, what happens, a lot of them will choose to come in Erev Shabbos already. So they'll be in the Beis Mikdash over Shabbos, and that way they don't have to travel Erev Yom Tov. But not a lot of them. And so, first of all, not a lot of them. And second of all, really, I mean, very nice, they're there a little early, but after all, you know, there's no specific reason they had to be there early. Same thing in reverse. If Yom Tov ends Thursday, same idea. They could have traveled home Friday. Some of them might choose to stay over Shabbos.
So those
people who came early or late are called misakiv. They're called, the misakiv literally means the ones who stay behind. So therefore, mishmash is mane kavua hayanotel etzer chalas. So the mishmo whose regular turn it is get 10 of the 12 chalas of lacham upon him, which actually means really the two mishmaris, the incoming and the outgoing. Each of them gets 5. Amisakiv noitel shtayim, and these extra people who came before, who came early or late, as they were stayed over late, as the case may be, they get 2 of the lacham upon him to divide among themselves. The Rambam has a different explanation of it. The Rambam doesn't like the idea. What do you mean? If misakiv means, like Rashi says, that it could be that they stay later, it could be they come early. Fine, staying late is misakiv. How does coming early? How is that called misakiv? So therefore, the Rambam explains that no, what we're talking about is we're talking about actually the mishmo whose normal turn should be. Let's say, for example, Yom Tov begins on Monday. So the incoming Mishmar, what are they going to have, Sachakol? They're going to have the second half of Shabbos. They're going to have all of Sunday. Beginning Monday already, they're going to be sharing it with all the other Mishmaris. So therefore, not everybody from that Mishmar is going to bother coming in on before Shabbos. Many of them are only going to show up Erev Yom Tov. So because of that, because there's fewer of them, that's what Misakiv means. They hold themselves back from coming. Like, they don't bother to come until Sunday, until Erev Yom Tov. Similarly, in reverse, if Yom Tov ends Thursday night, the Mishmo, who that whole week was supposed to be the return, again, many of them are not going to bother coming before the previous Shabbos, because anyway, they're sharing the Avodah together with everybody else. All they're going to have for themselves is Friday and the first half of Shabbos. So again, not all of them are going to bother being there, and therefore, again, so they're called the Misakiv. There's fewer of them, and therefore, they don't need as much Lacham Apanim. The rest of the year, the incoming Mishmar gets 6 of the Lacham upon him, and the outgoing one also gets 6. which actually we talked about in Yoma, out of that, each group was supposed to give a certain amount to the Kohen Gadol. We talked about in Yoma that towards the end of the first perek, that the Kohen Gadol winds up, according to different opinions, with four or five of Lachem Aponim every week. Yeah. And B'Pashtos, I guess you could parcel them out to whoever you want. Rabbi Yehuda Oman nichnas neitol sheva v'ayetzol neitol chamesh. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The incoming mishmer gets seven, and the one that's leaving gets five. Why? We'll talk about in the Gemara. Hanichnas in chokin batzofin. The ones who are incoming divide up the lachem upon him on the north side of the azara, because the north side is the more important side. That's where you shach kodesh kodeshim. So therefore, as a simon, as a mark of honor to them, they're coming in for a week of serving in the Beis Mikdash. They would give them the more honorable spot, the north side. Vayotzin b'darim, and the ones who are leaving would get on the south side. Bilga, which is the name of one of the mishmaris, the names of the 24 mishmaris from the times of the first Beis Mikdash are listed in Divrei Hayamim. So the first one was Yehoyariv, the second one was Yedaya. I don't remember most of the other names. The 15th one was called Bilga. In the times of the second Beis Mikdash, which is actually what we're talking about over here, they didn't have, the Gemara mentions in Tainis, that actually only four of the original 24 mishmaris came back from Golos Bavel, but they redivided, they took each of those four mishmaris and divided them into six, so they'll have the proper 24, and apparently they gave them names along, according to the original names. So one of them, so one of the mishmaris from the time of the second Beis Mikdash also was called Bilga. No, because the story that we'll have in the Gemara is from the time of the second Beis Mikdash. So Bilga, la'olam chelekas badarim, Bilga always divides the lachem upon him in the south. They gave them a knas for the reasons that we'll talk about in the Gemara. The tabata kavua, and also their ring was fixed in place. So Rashi says that it means like this. These are the famous 24 rings that they had set into the ground next to the mizbeach, where according to Rashi, they would put the head of the animal in there when they're shechting it to hold it in place. According to the Rambam, they'd put the feet of the animal in there, whatever it was, to hold it still so that way they could shecht it. Each mishmar, there were 24 rings. Each mishmar had a ring of its own. So Bilga was kvua, it was fixed in place, meaning it was permanently locked closed, so they can't use it. So necessarily, when they're coming to serve in the Beis Mikdash, they have to borrow somebody else's ring, which is it's meant as an embarrassment for them. It's meant as a knas for them. It's a ring that's fixed into the ground. It could be turned so that the open side has it's like a semicircle, like a U shape. So you can turn it so the open side is up, so you can put the animal's head in. Then you turn it so the open side is it's closed, and therefore it holds the animal in place. So the Bilgos was permanently locked shut. The Rambam has a different explanation in Pirush HaMishnayos. He says that each mishmar had a ring that they would use when it was their turn in the Beis Mikdash to hang up the animals when they're going to skin them and cut them up. There were pillars over there with hooks. They'd hang the ring on one of the pillars and on one of the hooks, and then they'd hang the animal from the ring and then do what they need to do with it. So and they'd leave that ring hanging there all week as a siman. Everybody knows it's their week. So Bilgos was permanently nailed to the was permanently nailed someplace where they can't use it. Again, the same idea. Then that way, it's as if somebody comes to the Beis Mikdash, they're weak. It doesn't look like they're on duty.
So each of those rings would have a unique feature.
Probably each one had their name on it or something. Yeah. And one more of a chalona stuma, and their window was closed. What window? Windows over here. What we mean is actually more like cubbies. Rashi says that this is where they would put the knives that couldn't be used anymore, that each mishmar had a cubby to put its knives that are no longer usable, they became dull or whatever, and Bilga's cubby was closed up. Same idea, that this way they can't use theirs, they have to borrow somebody else's. Again, the Rambam has a different explanation. He says that the cubbies we're talking about over here are the ones where each mishmar had four cubbies for their big dikuna. One cubby for Mechnasayim, one for Ksoinas, etc. So Bilga's was closed up. So again, they have to schnorr space from somebody else.
Okay, for the clothing of the base, doesn't that supposed to be given to each?
Yeah, each person has to have their own. That's why they have. Each Mishmar had its own cubby for all of its old Mechnasayim, for example, size to fit all of its individual people.
They have size 16.
I guess so. Yeah. Either that, or they had individual ones for the Kohanim. Maybe they had their names marked on them or something. Yeah.
I had heard that the Temple Institute is doing something like that.
Okay. So the Gemara asks, "My milfaneo, my lacharei." When the Mishnah started off that Yom Tov that is close to Shabbos, whether before it or after it, what does that mean? Ilei milfaneo Yom Tov Rishon lacharei Yom Tov Acharon. Do you mean to say that milfaneo means if Shabbos is the first day of Yom Tov, and lacharei means if Yom Tov is if Shabbos is the last day of Yom Tov? Then what do you need to say that? Hanu Shabbos Shabbos Echachag. We already talked in the previous Mishnah about what you do on Shabbos that comes out during Yom Tov. This is during Yom Tov. Ella, so no, what it means is, like we said in the, when we were explaining the Mishnah, Lefaneo means Yom Tov Achron. Lefaneo means that the day, means that it's end of Yom Tov. Lacharea, Yom Tov Rishon. And if it's after it, means that the first day of Yom Tov is on Sunday. My timer, what's the reason? Kivin Dahani Machtumi Bahani Ma'achri, because in either case, the Kohenim have to stay early or late because they can't travel home on Yom Tov or Shabbos. So that this way they all get to eat from the Lachem upon him together. Then the Mishnah said, Chal Yemecha, that if there was one day in between, we said that Yom Tov ended on Thursday or began on Monday. So we said that we give the Mishmah HaMitzakev, however we define that, according to Rashi versus Rambam, we said we give the Mishmah HaMitzakev two Chalas. And then we said that that's not actually what the Gemara is talking about over here. We're going on to rather what the Mishnah had said, that according to Rabbi, we said the rest of the year, the incoming and outgoing Mishmaris each get six chalas according to Chachamim, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, the incoming one gets seven, the outgoing one gets two. Bahani Tauti Maya Viditayu, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is the incoming one getting two extra? Five and seven, yeah. It's their reward, it's their payment for closing the doors. They're switching over on Shabbos. So Shabbos morning, the Mishma whose turn is finishing up, open the doors. Now, at the end of the day, the new Mishma is going to have to close them. So therefore, they deserve a bonus for that. Incidentally, I mean, the closing of the doors usually was actually, the opening and closing of the doors usually actually was done by the Levim. So what doors are we talking about over here that we're dealing with the Kohenim? So before I say, we're talking about the Mishnah says at the beginning of Talmud and also at the beginning of Midas, there were 24 places where there were guards posted around the Beis Hamikdash as an honor, as the Rambam says, because a palace without guards is not a very respectable place. Three of those posts were manned by Kohenim, the other 21 by Levim. So those three, the Kohenim had to open and close the doors. I'm asked why. What do you? After all, what's going to happen? They're getting two extra this week, but then they're losing. They're losing it next week. The name of like Dal Badal. So why isn't the outgoing Mishmer say to the incoming Mishmer, let's take off this and take off that. In other words, you need extra this week, and then next week you're not going to get, and then next week you're going to be losing it to somebody else. Instead, why should we bother? Let's just make it six and six. I'm going to buy it. Butzina Tova Mikara. A little pumpkin is better than a big one. Meaning, Rashi says, if somebody says to somebody else, I'm giving you this pumpkin which is growing right now. If you want, you can pick it right now. If you want, wait a few months and it'll be really big. Now, the person may well want to take it right away. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, Vimizak. So, you know, I'd rather have a small one now than I'll wait till later and get a big one. What if later on you change your mind? What if I don't need it anymore? The same thing, they'd rather get their extra two chalas now. Yes, it means that next week they won't be getting them, but at least they're getting their bonus right now. Tosfos discusses differently that butzina and kara are not two stages in the same fruit. It's two different kinds of pumpkins, a small one and a large one. Similar idea that the person would rather have even a smaller thing now than have a bigger bonus later. Amar of Yehuda, over musafin chokin. When it comes to the musafim of Shabbos, they divide them up. We said they divide up the lachem upon him between the incoming and the outgoing mishmer. So also the musafim, the korban musaf. For the bringing of the musaf and also the skins of them. Again, that we said the oilus go to the skins of oilus go to the kohenim. Moses says, "Mace, we have a contradiction." And Braisa says, "Mishmara hayotzes oisus tamid shoshacha umusafin." The outgoing mishmar, the one who's finishing up that week, does the morning tamid, and they do the musafim. Mishmara anechneses oisus tamid shoben abayim uvazichin, and the incoming mishmar does the tamid shoben abayim, the afternoon tamid, and the vazichin, the spoonfuls of teres that go along with the lachem upon him. The Braisa didn't say anything about dividing the. Okay, so we're saying that the outgoing Mishmah brings the Musafim. We didn't say anything about them dividing up the skins of them. So it sounds like they don't. Whoever brings the Musaf, which is the outgoing Mishmah, also gets the skins. So it's not a proof. Hi Tana b'chalukah l'kamari. Very simple. The Tana of this Braisa is not necessarily talking about what they divide. He's talking about who brings what carbon. He's not talking about who gets the spoils afterwards. Why? We see there's a braisa from the yeshiva of Shmuel that does talk about how they divide things. And it still doesn't say they divide up the skins from the musafim. Why? The Tana Dvei Shmuel, Mishmara Hayotis Oysa Tamat Shoshachar, Umusafin, the outgoing Mishmar brings the Tamat Shoshachar and the Musafin, Mishmara Nechnesis Oysa Tamat Shoben Abayim Uvazichin, and the incoming Mishmar does the Tamat Shoben Abayim and the spoonful of Tertis, and then this Braisa continues, Abba Koinim Hoynechnasim Sham, four Koinim would go in to bring out and divide the lacham upon him. Shnaim Mishmar Zu, two from the outgoing Mishmar, two from the incoming Mishmar, v'chokim lacham upon him. And then they would divide up the lacham upon him among the two Mishmaris. So we see this Braisa is talking about how they divide something. V'ilabu musafin chokim l'chotani. So it doesn't say anything about dividing the skins and the musafin, which implies they don't. The outgoing Mishmar, the Mishmar that's leaving that day, is the one that gets all the skins. Tiyufta, the Rabbi Yehuda, that's a contradiction against Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, tiyufta, it's a contradiction.
Explainable in
another
way?
No. When the Gemara says, that's it. It's off the slogan. Mishnah said, Anachnas and Chokim Atzofin, the incoming Mishmar divides up the Lacham upon him in the north. Tanan Abanan, we learned a Braisa that explains the details. Anachnas and Chokim Atzofin, Kadesh Yerosh Anachnas. And this way we see that they're coming in, again, because we said the north side is the more important side of the Azara. The ones who are leaving do it in the south so that everybody sees that they're leaving. Then the Mishnah had said, Bilga l'olam chalakas badarim, that Bilga, the Mishmah of Bilga, the 15th Mishmah, always divides in the south. Tanan Abanan, the famous story, Maisiv Miriam bas Bilga, Shehem Mira Dasa, it happened with Miriam bas Bilga. Doesn't mean bas Bilga, by the way, doesn't mean that her father was named Bilga. It means she's from this family of Bilga. Shehem Mira Dasa, Shehem Neshkenim Gedach, she converted, she shmadzach. V'holcha v'nisis l'saudiyat echad m'malcha yavanim, and she went and married an officer from the Greek kings. An officer in the Greek army. K'nichnasu Yevonim laHechol, when the Yevonim came into the Hechol, before the story of Chanukah, Ha'isim va'etis b'sandala agabim hamizbeach, she kicked with her sandal on the mizbeach, va'omra, and she said, lukus, lukus, wolf, wolf, lukus is the Greek word for a wolf. Admosay atam achalam amoyin and shayisra, how long are you going to keep on using up the money of the Jewish people from the Karbonas? V'yat emir alem v'shasat chak, and you're not standing up for them in their time of need. That's in Lukos is in Latin, I think. Lukos is in Greek. Which Marashah points out, she's not wrong in calling them as Mizbeach a wolf. There is actually Targum Yonason says when Binyamin Ze'ev Yitzroch refers to the fact that the Mizbeach is going to be built in the Chalik of Binyamin, and it is like a wolf. It devours two sheep every day. But that she kicked it and that she called it like that is a chutzpahdik way of doing it. Actually, I saw an interesting thing in a sefer about somebody wrote a sefer about the importance of speaking Yiddish, and he points out this Gemara as one of the proofs that it's important to speak a Yiddish lashon. The objection is not so much that she called them as mizbeach a wolf, but that she called it in Greek. So when the Chacham heard what happened, Kavos Tabata, they sealed up its ring of Bilga, Vesasmo Chalona, and they closed up their window as a punishment for the whole Mishmah. Why does the whole Mishmah get punished? Tomorrow we'll talk about it in a minute. The Yesh Amrim, others say there's a different reason. No, this is in the middle of the time of the second Mishmah. This is in the years before the Nes Chanukah, when the Greeks came into the Mishmah, not the Romans.
Only
the Misyavnim were around, like this Miriam Bas Bilga. Afterwards, when the Chacham found out what happened, and later on, when the Nes Chanukah happened, and they're back in control of this Mikdash, so they canceled the whole Mishmar.
They have to hear it from her.
They heard from other people who were there, I don't know, yeah. Maybe from her, maybe she did Shuvah afterwards, yeah, I don't know. Can't say.
Yeah.
We don't know. Okay, well, because we'll see. The Yesh, I mean, others say there's a different reason why the Mishmar was punished. Mishmarta Shoyalava, this Mishmar of Bilga used to be late in coming, where they wouldn't come, they wouldn't show up in time to start the work, which shows, therefore, that they don't care that much for the Avodah. V'nichnas Yeshevav Achiv Ima V'shimash Tachtav. So Yeshevav, their brother, meaning their fellow Mishmar, Yeshevav is the 14th Mishmar, so they're the one right before Bilga, they would have to come in and serve instead of him. In other words, they'd stay over extra in order to fill in Bilga's slack until the people from Bilga showed up. Yeah. And even though in general the neighbors of Rishayim never win out, Shechene Bilga Nistakru, but the neighbors of Bilga, this Mishmo Yeshevov that we just mentioned, did gain. And we said in the Mishnah that Bilga always divides the Bilbacham upon him in the south of the Knas. But Yeshevov Achiv Batsofen, but Yeshevov, as a reward for the fact that they stayed on extra to fill in for Bilga, they always got to divide the Bilbacham upon him in the north.
But then everyone else?
No, everybody else only when they come in. You shave them even when they're leaving.
Oh.
You have to divide it in the north. That's what we're saying. We can understand according to the opinion that the why they canceled is because the Mishmah of Bilga came late. Okay, Hainan Bekansin and Lechola Mishmah. Well, that explains why they penalized the whole Mishmah. El Amanda Amma Miriam Bas Bilga Shay Mira Dasa, but according to the opinion that it's because Miriam Bas Bilga converted. Are we canceling the father because of his daughter? Amar Abaya Ein, yeah. Like people say, what a kid talks about in the street. It comes either from his father or from his mother. So if Miriam could say such a chutzpah thing, lukus, etc., it means that she heard that kind of talk from her parents. So yes, therefore her parents deserve a knas for it.
Why should the whole
shady? Well, that we'll get to in a second. And Marsha points out, I mean, the Gemara could have said very simple. I mean, we know, you know, when a Bas Kohen is Mizana, then yes, Aviyahi Mechalelos, she defames her father. But Marsha says, yeah, but that's talking about that, and he or she was Mizana, she went and married a guy. But still, Marsha says, that's talking about that Aviyahi Mechalelos, that as far as the Chilul of Kohuna. Here we're not talking about, I mean, they didn't take away the Mishma of Bilga from being Kohenim. So the Gemara's question still stands, why are we canceling them? Then the question is, because of her father and mother, or one family from that Mishmar, we're canceling the whole Mishmar. Amar Abaye, yeah, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena, Achenvei to a Rasha, and Achenvei to his neighbors, which actually it relates to this week's Parsha. Rashi says, we find in this week's Parsha by a person who has Saras in his house. That if there's stones or a wall or whatever that you have in common with another house, and the house has to be torn down, or you have to take out the stones and replace them or whatever, then yeah, the other guy also loses stones from his house. Because he shouldn't have been living next to Russia.
Oh.
And Tov la tzaddik, Tov la shchena, and conversely, it's good for a tzaddik, and it's good for his neighbor. Shenemo, the pasuk says, Imr tzaddik ki tov, say to a tzaddik that he's good, ki prima aleim yechelu, because they will eat the fruit of their deeds. So we see, for one thing, the Farshim say, that the first we're saying Imr tzaddik, b'losh and yachid, but ki prima aleihem, they will eat, they'll get the fruits of their deeds. Which means, therefore, that we see that even though the shachar of the tzaddik, who may not be a tzaddik himself, he still gets to join in the schar of the tzaddik.
Oh, here's Amigin.
Yeah, indeed. So let's make the siyum. Say
Amigin now.
Yeah. That's my next one.
Stop practicing.
You still have
I just want to mention briefly, you know, there's a very famous two sichas that the Rebbe talked about this in Lamed Hay about this story. After all, the Rebbe said, so why is the Gemara telling us such a horrible thing about Miriam Bas Bilga?
Yeah.
So first of all, the Rebbe said, because it actually teaches us the importance of every year to the Eivishter. You know, you would think, for example, this Miriam Bas Bilga, I mean, she's shmadzich, she married a goy, she did all kinds of terrible avedas. So really, at that point, forget it. You know, she's a goner. Whatever else she does, big deal at that point. I mean, how could it be any worse than what she did already? No, we still call her to account for the fact that she's saying lukus, lukus. Even though, because the Rambam has an expression, I think the Rambam has an expression, that even, for example, Yeravim ben Nevat, with all the terrible avedas that he did, he's still called to account for the fact that he didn't put on tefillin, for example. So the same thing. In other words, every yid's ma'asim are important to the Eibishter, and yeah, therefore even the small things, even if they're doing terrible, big terrible things, nevertheless the small things are still important. Second of all, maybe it wasn't tefillin, maybe it was something else. I don't remember. Then Simchas Torah of that year, the Rebbe also talked about, and then the Rebbe was crying while he was saying this.
Yeah.
People were asking, "What do you mean, Malamed Tzchus on Roshanta like Miriam Bas Bilga?" And the Rebbe said, after all, yeah, you got to be Malamed Tzchus, and he quoted a story from the Alter Rebbe with one of the people who killed the Navi Zechariah. And the Rebbe said, after all, there is a certain limud tzchus that, yeah, even though, I mean, she completely seems to have separated herself from the Jewish people, but she still cares enough to worry about how you're talking that the Mizbeach is not saving the Jewish people. The way she said it is inappropriate, but the feeling behind it was an emissive feeling. Yeah. And maybe Taka, that's and maybe Taka, we could, I was thinking, you know, what's the connection ultimately of this story to Masechta Sukkah that we're just finishing. Sukkahs in general represents in various ways the actors of the Jewish people. We talked about the Rebbe talked about it in a number of sichos, the different levels of actors that we see in Masechta Sukkah. First of all, the Sukkah itself, Ruin Ko Yisrael, Leishah B'Sukkah Achas. Then you have the actors of the Dalad Minim, where they're all tied together. And then beyond that, you have the actors represented by the Arava, Allah Echad, and the actors represented by in the highest form, as we said yesterday or 2 days ago, by Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Yisrael, Malka B'Chadoi. So therefore, yeah, we finish off with we finish off with that even the Lo Yidach Mimenu Nidach, even a Miriam Bas Bilga is still part of the Jewish people, and it is still part of that Ruyim Loishah B'Sukkah Achas, and still part of that Aguda Achas of Sukkos. Hadron Alach Chalul L'Sukkah L'Masef B'Sukkah. Hadron Allah Masechas Sukkah v'Hadron Chalon, Daitan Allah Masechas Sukkah v'Daitan Chalon, Lainisna Sheminach Masechas Sukkah v'Laisisna Sheminon, Lai Ba'amu Adain v'Lai Ba'amu Da'ati. Hadron Allah Masechas Sukkah v'Hadron Chalon, Daitan Allah Masechas Sukkah v'Daitan Chalon, Lainisna Sheminach Masechas Sukkah v'Laisisna Sheminon, Lai Ba'amu Adain v'Lai Ba'amu Da'ati. Hadron Allah Masechas Sukkah v'Hadron Chalon, Daitan Allah Masechas Sukkah v'Daitan Chalon, Lainisna Sheminach Masechas Sukkah v'Laisisna Sheminon, Lai Ba'amu Adain v'Lai Ba'amu Da'ati. Yudotam of Panaha and Ela, Henry will have a senior chair to us home and send a boil of Mazar, say, Manuel Maba. Hanan, my papa Roma, my papa Nakama, my papa Akai, my papa Abamori, my papa Rafa, my papa Rocker, my papa Soho, my papa Otto, my papa Dora, my papa. The hire of Nard and Ela, and a service us from a funeral, Colam Cabes Dovania, Anaka Sassa, and Sassa, Colam Cabes Dokolon, Yadish Mako, Lemon, and Sarah Sakh, the Schma. My Ovet, Homena, and Sasaka Kilomi, Libi, some of Kakalman, the Kakalman, the Hevish, Lelam Lash Kaka, Kiraki, Kibamki, Sunny, Bokhatar, and Elam Kaka, Omen Salavoed. Yudotam Modi Manachan Rulapanahan and Ela Hinwell Avicenna Shatamta Chokane Miesh with the Medical Santa Chokane Miesh with Kronos. Shana Mashkim and Behemashkim, Honor Mashkim with the Divisay, Behemashkim with the Roman Tatum, Honor Amel and Behemamel, Honor Amel and Kamuskai, Behemamel and Behemam Kamuskai, Honor Rotam Hem Rotam, Honor Rotam Hayam over Hem Rotam Lever Shakas, Shinema Vatalim Terry Dame Lever Shakas, Anshad Domum Mirmal Yasay Mem and Yasapo. Yudotam of Panahan and Ela Hai Kashem Shah, the Tanul Sayam Masakas, a Sukkah. Kent has rain of the hack from a sector to score a chemical simum, Lumud Lam, the Shmavalasas, or Kaimus called the race hammer to Hesaka Bava, was cooked called Tanoim, Bamaroim, Sabatakam, Yaman Lono, Zarenu, Shalat Samashatan of Pino, and Pizarenu, Zera Zarenu, and Elam, Viscaim Bono, Bisalak, Tanka Isha, Bashak, Bashak, Malaka, Vakitai, Hisikaka, Kivi, Riamech, Vesipo Hoshnaisheim, Urk Yamim, Bimina, Bismilo, Shabhovet, Adonai Oiz Lamaisan, Adonai Verk, Samashalim, Kaddish.
God, I'll be cut off. Never, but man,